Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny. You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Break up the five villain.
The Sports Hub, there is a video for this, which is very well done.
I think they filmed it at Red Lantern, did they not? Or there's one of their videos they did at the restaurant, the Red Lantern.
Oh, no, this is an animated one.
Oh, okay, all right.
And so Tarek's kid's in it. I don't know who the other kid is, but I don't think that it's MF Doom's kid. MF Doom, by the way, not allowed in the country. And Esoteric had to go down to Guam. Meet with the man.
That's amazing.
All right. We have a man by the name of Mike Gorman. He is the legendary voice for the Boston Celtics. They're over there on NBC Sports Boston. Huge supporters of the show. Now, Mike Gorman, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, that's where we're going. Not Miami, Milwaukee.
And Cedric Maxwell's pissed.
Like, he's really angry.
Legitimately pissed. We asked him, who do you want the Celtics to play? He goes, I don't care about the Celtics. I want to play Miami.
That's yeah.
Because
right.
He hates, and he once again told us that the team hotel in Milwaukee is the worst of all of the cities. Do you agree with his assessment?
Well, I know it's the worst. It's a one-off hotel. It's the Hotel Pfister. It's been there forever. I don't think there is... When you go to the room, I'm telling you about other Pfisters you can visit.
I know a few. Hey,
we had three options going into the last game the other night. We go to Miami and stay in the Four Seasons. We could go to Washington, stay in the Four Seasons, right in the middle of Georgetown. We could go to Milwaukee, look at the lease for sale signs.
And stay at the Pfister.
Yep. I think I've stayed at the Pfister.
Did you?
Yeah.
The Pfister, there's a hotel in Oklahoma City that a lot of guys feel
it's garbage.
Some people think the Pfister has some things going on.
The Pfister's a nice hotel.
It is a nice hotel.
With a horrible name.
Nice hotel.
Yeah.
It has a wonderful lobby. It has an old-fashioned coffee shop.
Yes.
You never see
it's a five-star hotel. But I can tell you, Cedric Maxwell, in his phone...
They don't have high-def television, so it can't be a five-star hotel.
They don't have high-def TVs.
No.
Maybe they expect you to just be out enjoying Milwaukee.
Yeah, probably.
And not watching television, but...
Google Bees or something like that. Google Bees? What's that?
Know
that place?
Wait, what?
Google Bees? Google... I don't know.
I just know the Fonzie statue.
Washington recommended... Google. I'll find out what it is when I talk to you.
I don't know. There was one day I
get stuck in Milwaukee.
I got cut off.
You should come and do a remote from there.
I would do. I like Milwaukee. Fine. I think it's fine. I don't mind these Midwestern cities. Everyone craps on them, but I mean, I don't mind.
How do you find a feeling about Milwaukee so I can follow your lead?
It's a big drinking town, which I'm sure is good if you're doing night games there. And the good Midwestern folk. It's an easy to manage city. You can walk places. I mean, it's not like, let's put it this way. It doesn't seem...
There's nobody on the streets. There's nobody there.
Laverne and Shirley was set there. I mean, you can look at that and perhaps see a man dancing in his Santa jacket. I don't mind it. I think that you guys are, Northeastern folk are very prissy about having to go to some place that maybe, is a little bit of a steel town, a little bit of a lunchbox city, not academia.
2.5-hour flight.
What?
2.5-hour flight.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
How about 55 minutes to Washington? That's good.
Yeah, I like Washington.
What, now you're,
2.5 to Miami, but you're always thinking, like, I'm going to get off this plane, it's going to be 85 degrees and sunny.
Mm-hmm. Milwaukee will be fine.
It'll be 40s and rainy.
All right. Well, listen.
All right,
enough.
Let's talk about basketball.
And I'm the diva. All right. So, Mike Gorman, if you had your choice of Washington, Miami, and Milwaukee, is Milwaukee the matchup that you think is the most advantageous for the Celtics?
No, I think it's the worst one, frankly, for the Celtics.
Worse than Washington.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because Washington's a mess right now. Internally, they're a mess. So it was interesting to watch them the other night. You know, guys would walk off their high off the court, and they traditionally high five any player coming off the court. Guys weren't looking at each other; they were looking in opposite direction, holding the hand out, looking 180 degrees out. Gortat went after one of the officials, and nobody tried to stop him. They just seemed to have some internal problems. So, here's the problem with Milwaukee is Antetokounmpo. I mean, he's the next great player in this league, and he has showed that he's capable, as good a defensive team as the Celtics are, he showed he's capable of getting between 30 and 40 every time he plays. Throw in Parker, throw in Bledsoe, throw in Middleton, who very quietly gets 20 points a game. They got Dellavedova back from an injury. They have Brogdon back from an injury. These guys are going to be a really tough out. I think it's a seven-game series.
You know what the problem with Andre Huziwatz is?
Who? Andre Huziwatz?
Yeah, the Agupo, whatever his name.
Giannis.
Okay. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right. Yeah. You know what the problem with him is? Is that if you have a kid that likes basketball, you can say, like, you're never going to play. Like, there's no way. You could be, like, 6'8", and be able to shoot. No. Like, there's people that are 7 feet tall that can carry the ball up the court.
Yeah, he's a spectacular athlete.
Spectacular.
And, again, you get in a playoff series, one guy gets really hot. That was the thing about playing Miami. I mean, Kelly Olynyk's arguably one of the best players on Miami, so it doesn't exactly strike the fear of God in you to go there and play. But that's not true with Giannis. If Giannis gets on a roll, again, he's capable of getting 30 or 40 a game, and they don't want to play an 80 or 90-point game. They want to play 115 to 112. And so it's going to be up to the Celtics to really step up defensively, because I don't think it's in their best interest to get in a shootout with these guys.
So what did Brad do this year that worked against Giannis Antetokounmpo, at least slowing him down?
You'd have to get Scal onto that. I'm a terrible X and O guy. I have to ask Scal during timeouts what's going on all the time. I think Brad will do is the weakness, as I see it, and I'm not telling you anything that Dave told me, but the weakness as I see it is the center position for Milwaukee. They play Henson there, and he's at best a backup center. And Maker, who played well for them last year, apparently hasn't played well because he doesn't get any minutes anymore. So I think that's their weak spot. So I think Greg Monroe could play a huge role in this playoff series, because I think he can score down low, and I don't think there's anybody on Milwaukee who can stop him down low. And I think Horford and Baines, God bless him, has become an offensive guy the last couple of games now. He's looking for shooting threes. So I think we have a huge advantage at the five, and I think that's what Brad will try to concentrate on.
Usually when you approach a playoff series, Mike, you look at the history between the two teams during the regular season, but they've only played once over the last 4 months. In that one game, the Celtics were down 4 point guards, and the other loss the Celtics had to Milwaukee was the night after they lost Gordon Hayward for the season, so apparently there's not much to be learned by the four meetings.
It really isn't. It was a real quirk of the schedule. What was it, December 4th we played him, and then we didn't play him again until like a week and a half ago?
Correct.
Yeah. So, I don't think there is much you can. They've been a real trick-or-treat team. They had some good win streaks. The Jason Kidd experiment didn't work out. They fired him. They played well for a while, and they played terribly. They were embarrassed the other night by Philadelphia. My gosh, they just got swamped by 35 or something.
Did they try to lose that one? Was there any kind of, because I mean, you know, games were ending at certain times, and I know that obviously teams want to play the Celtics because they're so shorthanded.
Scal is real good on this kind of stuff. A draft pick that they're owed or something was affected by how they played the other night, and that was, he thought, more important than necessarily wanting to play the Celtics. I don't think, you know, that's an exercise that the media certainly enjoys, and I'm part of it too, to speculating who wants to play whom. But coaches don't feel that way, and they just want to go out and win games. I mean, Brad was honest the other night in the pregame show in the 82nd game of the season. He had no idea. He said, I know that these three teams are in the running, but I have no idea if this guy has to beat this guy for us to get that guy. He said, I don't pay any attention to that stuff. And I believe him. He just wakes up the next morning, sees who he's playing, and goes to work.
Mike, one thing you talked about, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and no one can stop him. You have to hope to slow him down. But the Celtics have something that a lot of other teams, Celtics have something a lot of other teams don't have, is a mobile big man. Al Horford had a really good defensive season. I would imagine it would be his job.
Yeah, I think it will be, and I think he'll do as good a job as you can expect on Giannis. But again, Giannis just. When a 6'11", 7-foot guy, or whatever he measures out to be, is the fastest guy up and down the court, and can handle the ball, and seems to like to defend, you got a problem on your hands. And again, when we played them, they're getting Brogdon and Dellavedova back. And, you know, Brogdon was a low draft pick, relatively speaking, but he was a player of the year in the ACC. And you don't become player of the year in the ACC if you don't know what you're doing. And Dellavedova has showed that all the teams he seems to be on seem to win. So he's a feisty little player. And they got Bledsoe, who's a blur. So, you know, the guard tandems for them are going to be tough for Boston to match up with. Parker's played well off the bench. He had 35 the other night. Middleton, again, nobody talks about Middleton. He just averages 20 points a game. Again, they got a lot of guys who can play. They scare me much more than Miami or Washington did.
So you believe Celtics in seven? Is that what you were saying? You said seven games.
That would be my pick, yeah.
Okay, so let's say they do make it past this round. Do you think that, and let's say the 76ers move on as well, are they just a buzzsaw? Is that a...
They certainly appear to be right now, yeah.
Yeah, and do you buy into that? I mean, obviously, these guys are... The streak they've been on has been amazing, but yeah. Once
tough
again...
It's not to buy into 60 in a row, you know?
Sure.
Five or six of them without Embiid.
Yeah, but I mean, there's youth there, and you know, inexperience from a lot of these guys. I don't think the Celtics have a chance against them. But I mean, you're buying into
the Philly thing.
Okay,
yeah, I do. I think they're I am buying into it. I think Simmons having had a chance to watch everything for a year, it really helped him as a player. I was never really a big Embiid guy, but every time I see him play, he's better than I thought he was. And Redick is stable for them. You know, guys like Bellinelli and people they picked up that didn't look that important, now all of a sudden with Embiid clogging up the middle are you know, deadly outside shooters. And that they, unlike Washington, they love each other. They have a great team chemistry going on down there. They're going to be a very, very tough out.
Well, at the very beginning of the season, Mike, you said you believed that the Cavaliers would not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I still believe that.
You still believe that? Okay.
I do. Yeah.
And is that just because the competition is too tough? Or, I mean...
I think the competition is tough. I think, you know, LeBron arguably has had the best year of his career. You know, he played all 82 games for the first time. You know, can he keep doing it? Maybe he can. I just, you know, in the playoffs, the games are tougher. It's just harder to play because everybody's taking every possession very seriously. And I just don't know whether he can carry them all the way. If he can, you know, I shouldn't be surprised because he's LeBron. I think he might be the best player ever. But I just think there are teams in the East that can beat them. Toronto can beat them. If DeRozan and Lowry play well and they play like they did for the majority of the year. And again, I buy into the Philly thing. And, you know, this would be the third time, Brad, if we face Cleveland in the playoffs, that Brad Stevens went up against LeBron. And one of these times, Brad's going
to
win.
Would LeBron want to go to the Sixers? Like, is that a team that you believe that he would possibly consider going to?
Yeah, I think he'd consider going a lot of places. I think he wants to go someplace where it's not going to be up to him whether they win or not. Not to say that he's willing to take necessarily a second seat, but he wants other guys. Like he was at their best when they had Kyrie there at the same time and Kyrie playing well. For him to go play with Simmons and Embiid, that's very appealing.
That's a nightmare. That would suck. I mean,
yeah, it would suck from a Boston point of view, but I tell you what it would do. It would make the Philly-Boston rivalry great again. And I got tired over the last year or two going into the Philadelphia area, and nobody gave a damn about the games.
Yeah.
You went to the games with 8,000 people in the building and 5,000 leave early. So to get back into a place where 75-year-old guys are swearing at Tommy Heinsohn, that's what I want to do.
And a short flight as well.
Yeah. That's right.
No, a train. Take a train, babe.
You take a train?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You don't take the team plane?
I do sometimes, but I like the train. I'm a big fan of the train.
You like riding the rails?
In rails. The city of New Orleans.
That's right.
Illinois Central, Monday morning rain, something like that.
The Orient Express. We'll hook it up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But again, when are you guys, how far do the Celtics have to advance before you come with us and do a remote?
I mean,
NBA Finals?
It depends on if it's the NBA Finals, and I mean, who could they play where they would afford us to go across country? I mean,
if it's Houston, that's only halfway.
They wouldn't have us go to Houston. They wouldn't have us go to Houston.
Yeah.
All the national people would come here. Because remember that happened last time they were in the final? Like Stephen A. Smith and the other studios?
Yeah,
they wouldn't send us anywhere.
Oh, well.
Ask NBC Sports Boston to fix the bill.
See if they'll do it.
They'll rent us a...
I love that idea, Fred.
That's right. They'll rent us a Ford Escort.
Let's run that up the flagpole, see what happens.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman, it's always a pleasure, sir. Enjoy the matinee.
All right. Have a good... Talk to you next week in the middle of all this.
That's right.
All right. Appreciate it. There you go. Mike Gorman. The great Mike Gorman. All right. We'll talk Bruins again. A nice win, a big win. I was very nervous for a good portion of that game. A third of that game, I was very nervous. Obviously, things went off the rails, and the Toronto lost their cool, but I was very nervous.
There was about 5 minutes where it looked like Tuukka could have gotten scored on six times. Like, it was just, I mean, it was chaos down in front of the net.
Just like at 10 minutes into the game, the Bruins, I said to my wife, I said, I guarantee you Toronto scores right now, but the Bruins are playing incredibly, and boom.
Yeah, that Hyman goal was awesome, though. I mean, that's tough to stop.
I'll tell you, David Krejci can really fly. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. In part, I love when he does this, because it really keeps you listening. In part one of a two-part CBS Sports Minute, Boomer previews the Saturday slate of NBA playoff games. The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. And if you are going to be out Saturday night, let me tell you this. Stream every at NHL Bruins game during the NHL playoffs on the free 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download it now at 98.5thesportshub.com/app.
Yeah, no restrictions on the games. So you're going to be able to hear every Bruins game during the playoffs on that app, the same place you can hear our show.
Say you're at a wedding, you can have the earpieces in, and then when they say, are there any objections, you can go, like every commercial.
And then you can sit down awkwardly.
Just listening to the game.
Well, I mean, the one thing yesterday that I still need an answer for, and maybe Josh, who's listening back at NBCSN, can see if he can get some sort of answer now that the people are probably showing up at the office over there in Burlington, is that one of the extra bonus thing that was a lot of fun to watch during the 2011 run was they had just put the studio for Comcast Sportsnet at the time right out there at Causeway, and there was a big window where you could watch and you could see everything, and it was absolute chaos. And even during several playoff runs for the Celtics, there were people out there going nuts. But during 2011, when Amonte's sitting there and you've got Felger sitting there, it was amazing TV to watch them try to work while everyone was going nuts outside. As a matter of fact, I was expecting them to do something similar to that. Maybe not open up the windows all the way, but give us a little taste of it at Causeway. And the reason I thought that was because we got a little bit of a tease. If you follow NBC Sports Boston on Twitter, they tweeted out a video yesterday saying, it looks like this would be a perfect time to tweet this out to get you ready for the game. And it brought us back to the very first time that Felger and Amonte were there in front of that window. Let's take a listen.
We've got a major situation. I can't hear a thing now.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
Jesus Christ.
Break
the
window. Hey, stop it.
Well, that'll get everyone
in their tracks.
Look up the cops.
Okay, all right. We got it. We got it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the cops shoot them all away, and Felger's like, oh, geez. By the way, that's the best part. He goes, hey, guys, stop. And there's like, it stops for a second, and all of a sudden, like, even louder than before.
Yeah.
So I could see maybe not banging on the window. You don't want to disrupt the broadcast. I understand that. But at least be down there and have the windows open so you can see the chaos in the background. I tuned it on to the post game because I like watching Felger and Amonte. And I think last night they had, Megan Duggan. She's the captain of the women's Olympic team. And she was there. And I wanted to see what they had to say. But they weren't even at Causeway. What are you doing? Why do you have that studio and not use it? Like, why were you in Burlington for a home game.
Safe distance.
To not at least have a little bit of that element.
16 miles away is fine.
I mean, the place was, listen, people were obviously excited. You had Nicky Knuckles out there making threats.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
I want to see Nicky Knuckles on TV in the background.
Well, you got to go to Quincy to find him, right?
Well, where in Quincy?
I'm at Marymount Park in Quincy. Right. And I will school you in street hockey.
Okay.
There you go.
That's where you would find him. But
yeah,
after
he
the
wants
game.
The goaltender to meet him at the
right.
park in Quincy
sure.
to play street hockey.
What are we doing? Come on, NBC Sports Boston, why are you guys at least not down at Causeway? I understand you don't want people banging on the glass. I get it. I know you guys have like a little barrier that you put out there sometimes. But at least invite a little bit of the chaos. We want to see that. It makes it a little more fun. It's one of the nice little extras that we got from 2011. And I think it happened a couple times even after that. But don't rob us of that. We kind of want to see Felger get a little scared. A little bit of fear in Tony Amonte. You know, an accidental swear here and there. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'll take it. So somebody, why do you think that they were just like, I don't even want to go down there. I don't even want to deal with the chance that something might happen. I've seen them just completely close the blinds before. And then at that point, you're like, well, then why even be there? Go down there, open the blinds, get a barrier, and let us enjoy a little fear. Fear in the eyes of Michael Felger.
Well, last night, a 5-1 win, John and I are saying that it was not a lot closer than the score would indicate. Than the score. You know, take away the last, 15 minutes of the game, I suppose. But it was a nail-biter there, especially when the Bruins were listless about 10 minutes. It's like 10 minutes into the game, they just stopped.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes, you were like, wow,
Toronto
they couldn't start any better.
Toronto controlled the next 20 to 25 minutes or so. 5-on-5 was very much even for the balance of the game until it got away from Toronto. I mean, the power play was a big difference in that game, and Toronto hit two posts.
There was a puck that went behind Rask that went right through the crease.
This is not going to be a sweep. It's not going to be five games. Toronto will find themselves, and it's going to be a pain in the ass to watch.
It's going to be a lot harder if Kadri's not playing a couple
games.
That's
the thing. Kadri lost his cool.
Let's see how much Kadri misses.
And that's the other thing. They tried to get Marchand to lose his cool, and he didn't. So one team kept their composure, and one team didn't.
I didn't realize he gave I thought the smooch was from earlier in the season, there was a smooch earlier in the season.
Yeah, they have a history of smooching.
All right. That's why I thought it didn't happen yesterday, because they kept playing him.
Sure.
Giving him I think he licked him in the regular season.
Well, he put his mouth right.
I remembered that.
If you didn't see it, he went up to Komarov and put his mouth right on his neck, and they asked him about it afterwards.
I'm not trying to get into his head. You know, he kept coming after me at the whistles and stuff like that every time he was going to the bench. So I just thought that if he wanted to keep touching me, that we're going to go closer than he may want to.
I love it. Well, I absolutely love it.
One time when Marchand kept his cool, Komarov cross-checked them after they blew the whistle, and there was a ref standing right there, and they were just like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We know this. Something, you know what's going on with you guys. We're just going to let it go as long as it's not blood is not shed.
Right, and then he kept his cool there, which was impressive. I mean, Backes...
God, he was awesome.
Took a guy down and was pounding on him, and they didn't call anything on that.
They picked him up and pile-drived him to the ground.
Yeah. So, I mean, they played heavy. Obviously, Nash played very heavy yesterday. And one thing that's great about the playoffs and the way these series go is that it's a lot like in a football game. If you just the running game just keeps going and going, and you soften up the defense, you know, these hits end up taking a toll. And the further this series goes, Kadri's an idiot. I can only imagine what they're saying in Toronto about him.
Justified. I haven't looked. I have no idea. Elbow to Marner got people. It was Marner who he elbowed.
Yes,
correct. The elbow to Marner behind the Bruins net got everyone's attention. And I'll bet you anything, Toronto fans, and I haven't looked at the Toronto Sun this morning, think that hit from Kadri was justified.
Then the boarding one was justified, but certainly not the charging. I mean, he was on his knees.
I'm betting you anything, they'll say, hey, all right, he went over the line, but it was understandable, the whole thing. I'm betting you that is the slam.
So if, say they would have called, Wingles
for the first one?
For the first one. That's a minor.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can't, and then there's a minor penalty for boarding. You can't.
Well, there was no call on Wiggles. I think that's what precipitated Kadri getting frustrated.
But, okay, so you're frustrated, so you board him. and then fine, you take that penalty.
Yep.
There's absolutely no reason in the world you skate up to Kadri when he's on his, or Wingles when he's on his right. hands and knees and cost. I mean, it's a major. You know it. I mean, he knows that. He can use every excuse he wants. Even if they didn't suspend him, that's a 5-minute power play. That game's over at that point. I mean, that's another thing that happened for the Bruins that was. I mean, that doesn't happen. They don't get that 5-minute power play. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, he lost his cool. And they tried to get Marchand to do it. They tried to have it. They were doing everything they could to make him lose his mind.
Yeah, they were cross-checking him after plays. I mean, they were knocking him all around. Pushing him up against the bench.
I like it. I like that he's, you know, as of right now, for one game, was mature enough not to take the bait. And that's what you want.
Long way to go in a series,
yeah,
though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Kadri's gone, I'm saying 5 games.
You can't screw around with that power
Depends
play.
Depends on
like
how long he's gone for.
Well, 2 games. If he's gone for 2 games,
if
he's gone
for 2 games, it's a big deal. If he's gone for 1 game, it's a big deal because then if you win both, if say that's the difference between a win and a loss, I mean, then you've won both at home. I mean, we talked to a guy from Toronto. The home ice is such a big deal in this because of the matchup problems. You know, if Toronto wins Saturday, they're pleased.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very pleased about what happened. Hopefully they got in Anderson's head a little bit. But, yeah, that game did not make me think, oh, hey, Toronto sucks.
No, it made me happy, though, that this is the Bruins we hoped were going to show up, and yes. It wasn't the one at last 2 weeks of the season.
Listen, if it was like the first 10 minutes of that game, God bless them.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. They were fantastic. And then I was worried.
And then the last period.
And then the last period.
Yeah.
Because they had a 5-minute major, and they took advantage of that. All right. We'll be back. What do we got, Rich?
Two words. P. Tape.
Yep. It's all I want to see in my lifetime. We will have the headlines right here.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll win a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. The new Chrome Soft combines tour-proven performance with unparalleled field distance and spin control. Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball.
Guys, we are getting closer and closer to what could be a reality that the P-tape exists. I'm only happy when it rains. Have you seen the cover of the New York Daily News this morning?
I've not. No.
Would you like to read it?
P-Brain.
P-Brain. And it has a picture of Donald Trump and a bunch of yellow splotches.
Yeah.
Look at the yellow splotches that they've got.
Is this a tease or is there some factual evidence here?
Okay, I will tell you. Yes. So there is a new book that James Comey is coming out with, and apparently people have received some of it. And I just
that explains the tweeting this morning. I get it now.
The New York Daily News. The New York Daily News will put this together better than I ever could. I just want to read directly from their article. First sentence: he wanted to stop the leak. President Trump told James Comey he would not have hired Russian prostitutes to pee on each other because he's a, quote, germaphobe, according to a tell-all book by the axed FBI director. Comey's upcoming memoir, A Higher Loyalty, recounts a salacious conversation he had with Trump last January about the then-unreleased Steele dossier, a cache of documents alleging that the Russian government has compromising information on the president, including a pee tape featuring Trump and hookers in a Moscow hotel. During their conversation at Trump Tower, Comey said Trump offered a series of explanations as for why he would never instruct Russian hookers to urinate on each other.
By the way, just real quick, Donald Trump did something unintentionally funny. James Comey is a proven leaker.
That's right. He tweeted that out this morning about an hour ago. It was all yellow.
He said he strongly denied the allegations. Rhetorically, I assumed, this is from the book, rhetorically, I assumed whether he seemed like a guy who needed the service of prostitutes. He then began discussing cases where women had accused him of sexual assault, a subject I had not raised, Comey said, according to an excerpt that the Washington Post had got. They said he then tried to pour more cold water on the tail in a phony call. This is great. Just how many can you jam in there? In a phone call to Comey a week later, insisting he hadn't stayed overnight in the hotel room. Quote, I'm a germaphobe, Trump told Comey, according to his account. There's no way I would let people pee on each other or around me. No way. quote, I decided not to tell him that the activity alleged did not seem to require either an overnight stay or even being in the proximity to the participants, Comey wrote. The Steele dossier, which was made public weeks after the Trump Tower meet, claims that Trump had the hookers perform a lewd act in 2013 in the same Moscow hotel suite that President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama once stayed in as a, quote, way of soiling the bed. Trump asked Comey if the FBI could do anything to disprove the news reports he feared would leak from the unverified dossier, which was compiled by an ex-British spy. During a one-on-one dinner at the White House after the dossier's release, Trump raised the, quote, golden showers thing again, telling Comey that the steady stream of news stories about the alleged act was very painful for First Lady Melania Trump to read.
Sure.
Trump told Comey that he wanted the FBI to prove the claim wasn't true because it bothered him that there might even be, quote, a 1% chance his wife might think it's true, according to the book. Comey writes that he was perplexed, quote, why his wife would think that there was any chance, even a small one, that he had been with prostitutes urinating in a Moscow hotel room. Comey's bombshell memoir, which is set to hit the shelves, gives an eye-opening view, okay, blah, 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 and then it goes in with like a million more, you know, P references. But this is something, Fred, that this is, it is getting closer and closer to possibly seeing the light of day.
It just would be the funniest thing of all time. It would be gross, but it would be very funny.
You know what's...
A delighted Donald Trump, like, clapping.
Yes! I have a feeling that, A, he doesn't really care as much about that. I think the only thing that he truly does not want released is how much money he's worth.
Yes,
like, that's it. I think anything else, he would just be, all right, fine, and people would be like, okay, and they would write it off. I mean, a million things he said that were, you know, have been somewhat embarrassing to a normal person. But I think that if it was ever released that he wasn't worth as much as he says he is,
yeah, I think
that would be the only thing that would truly... Like crush him.
Yeah, I think that's why there's the panic over the going into the FBI, going into his lawyer's office, is that they could get their hands on information like that. But listen, if he's not embarrassed by the P tape, God bless him. The guy's got a good fortitude, good mental fortitude.
I haven't seen the New York Post. That was the Daily News.
The Post is very pro-Trump. The Daily News is very anti-Trump. So the Post might not have a funny one.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it was the Post that had Osama bin Wanking.
It was. That was the Post.
Yeah.
The Post usually is the king of having the best.
I have a trunk in my basement where I keep great memories. And I have for years since college. And I have the Osama bin Wanking paper in that I can cherish forever. All right. Zolak and Bertrand will figure out what they got going up in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Remember that you can listen to Saturday's Bruins game and all the playoff games at the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Did you see David Pastrnak yesterday at the post-game press conference?
Yes, indeed. It's ridiculous.
Yes, indeed. He's got the hat. It's Smooth Criminal, but it's actually, you know what it's more like? Do you remember when Tom and Jerry, Tom, that episode where he dressed up with the zoot suit?
Cool Cat.
Yeah, he was Cool Cat. Yeah. That's what he is right there.
Now, I think Pastrnak's being completely serious. I believe that he thinks that is something that you would wear.
I think the irony, there's none in him. There's no irony. That is, but you have to think, if you lose a game, do you wear that to the...
Well, he wore it to the game, so, yeah, I mean, that's the suit that he brought.
See, I didn't know he wore it to the game.
Well, they're showing it right now. That's the only reason I know. So he wore it to the game.
It's great, too, because his, you know, obviously his teeth are what they are, but he's got that huge thing on his nose from when the puck smashed him in the face, and he's just having the time of his life. It's a zoot suit riot for David Pastrnak, apparently.
It's the hat that is inexcusable. That he just decided to rock a big ass like hunter's hat.
Oh, that's inexcusable. It's just a guy who just is like, I'll put on whatever you got.
He's like a flapper.
right. Hello there, daddy-o.
It's guys and dolls.
Yeah, maybe he's been hanging out with Nicky Knuckles.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
That is something that he would wear.
Nicky Knuckles would wear that.
Yes, indeed.
We got us a problem on the south side of town. Who are you going to call? Nicky Knuckles.
No. We'll hurt anyone. Anyone can get hurt. Remember that. Anybody can get hurt. Quote me on that. Anyone can get hurt. Anyone.
No chains.
guns, no blades.
Oh, I just want to know where we can find the guy.
Hey, you want to come to Marymount Park? I will just school you and shoot on you. They're nothing.
Well, if Nicky Knuckles is one of the, what were they calling themselves? The Garden Greats who never pay to get in?
Right.
If Nicky Knuckles is always out there, we got to get another one from over the weekend. We got to find out what's going on with Nicky Knuckles. Yeah. Whether he ended up finding Anderson. And Anderson took him up on his invitation.
Come to Marymount Park in Quincy, and I'll school you in street hockey.
Listen, maybe they should learn a thing or two. After the way they performed yesterday.
Makes sense to me.
Oh, Nicky Knuckles is the guy to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hi.
Nicky Knuckles, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was
so excited because Bertrand's from Quincy, my partner.
Yes.
So we're going to find out about Marymount Park.
Yeah,
Marymount Park.
Whether or not he's ever run into him.
Yeah. Street hockey heaven.
It's the bros down there with the orange blades with the tape around them. And the street hockey ball. I used to have that when I was a kid. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the bottom of your stick got worn out. You're like, oh.
So he just said that's every morning at 2 a.m. in Quincy.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
I think Quincy's like a little New York. Like, it never sleeps. It's like Everett.
Yeah, well, Everett.
You go there, there's just people walking around all the time.
Do they have locks in the doors at Everett? Or do they just kind of want, everyone just wanders into each other's caves?
Everybody, you know, everybody it's
like,
knows everybody.
They have like padlocks.
That was so cool going to opening day with you guys, and we walk in. And what's the lock? The gate that we walk in, it's the one that the birds work in.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And there was no grab ass, just straight serious, because all those other guys, I guess his superiors, were watching him.
Yeah.
They keep a keen eye on birds.
I'm like, what's up, bird? Nothing. Working.
Just take out your phone. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Electronics. So
who got all the sound? Nick last night?
He did. He got good sound.
Yeah, he did.
If you can't get good sound during the playoffs,
that's what you're waiting for, man.
Yeah, this is it. This is where it all pays off.
Yeah.
That's where my TV paid off last night. And just, you know, why'd I get that big one? And it's just like, wow, this is why I got it. I put my chair like 3 feet in front of it and just sat there. It was awesome.
I'm pissed that they're not at Causeway. I want to see the chaos outside. I don't know why I think it's such a big deal. It was just such a fun aspect to after the games.
That was an odd post game.
What was odd about it?
I'm not getting into it.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey, I'm assuming you mean that it was not a Causeway.
From what we were used to, it really got staled down.
Staled down.
Stale. S-T-A-L-E.
Did Amante have his shirt unbuttoned to a fair amount?
It's something weird about that set where like the hosts, and it's like that one early, just like they put like, they double people here and over there and. It's just, okay, let's throw it to you. What did you think? I love Felger's, I think, best in the city, breaking down hockey.
Yeah.
I do.
He's great.
Well, that's why I tuned over. But I wish there was more chaos. That's it. I liked it. And the vibe is a lot better when it's down
there. Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
I was retweeting stuff. People, like, remember the videos and the gifs from Felger and Amante when they... Your phone's ringing, Fred. Show ain't over yet, dude. 9 seconds, okay?
All right. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean,
who would have their phone on?
You got Nicky Knuckles. We got to get like Marty Moose Knuckles on Saturday night. We need something good.
Moose Knuckles.
Yeah.
Nancy Moose Knuckles.
Hey, I'm a Marty Moose Knuckles. Yeah.
This is my girl, Nancy Moose Knuckle. She loves yoga pants.
No, it's got to be MM.
Mary Moose Knuckle.
Mandy.
All right. So what do you guys have on the way today?
Oh, everything. Everything from the night last night. It's a good time to be in Boston and work in sports in Boston. It really is.
Yep.
And you sit there and you text back and forth with people and you're like, you'd be in another city and not have this, man. And like Belichick today, running live on it. Got some takes on that.
All right.
Oh,
there you go.
I know why I did that.
And you guys have Bruins tickets to give away as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So
there you go.
I'm looking for a pair.
Everyone tune on in. That'll do it for us. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Bruins game and the Celtics game. They both can be heard here on 98.5 The Sports. Up bye.
Hey, you want to come to Marymount Park? I will just school you and shoot on you. You're nothing. You're nothing.